The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today, we are talking about the upper cervical connection to different dysfunctions. So I really want to talk about Bell's palsy. Today I want to talk about trigeminal neuralgia and Meniere's disease, as well as touching a little bit on migraines. So we've had quite a bit of increased occurrence of patients with Bell's palsy. And if you know anything about Bell's palsy, the signs and symptoms are a little bit terrifying because they do mimic a bit of stroke in terms of drooping of the face, facial asymmetry, loss of taste, dry eyes, versus a stroke, right? But a lot of people will end up in immediate care or the ED because of this. And I've seen it enough that when I tell them, they say, oh my gosh, this makes so much sense. And this is why it would help. But that being said, I think just knowing and understanding a little bit more. So I'm going to dive down deep. So again, today we're going to really talk about that upper cervical connection to things like Bell's palsy, Meniere's, vertigo, trigeminal neuralgia, TMJ disorders, and migraines. So it is all connected, which is one of the reasons why I love what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. Our inevitable goal is to get down to the root cause of the problem, figuring out the whys, ins, and outs. And sometimes we have the ability better than others. Sometimes we're not able to as much. And so just moving and shaking and like that, that aspect of health and wellness is always one that we want to dive down deeper into so that you have the understanding on where to go. Because a lot of the times, you know, for Meniere's, for example, they'll say, well, just do cauterization. We'll just burn the nerves. And you're like, so you agree it's a nerve-related issue. And you're like, well, what else? And they're like, some medication. You know, and if that's not the path that you want to go down, often people feel very stuck because, you know, these upper cervical dysfunctions will very much affect your quality of life. So that's what we're going to dive down deep into today. But before we get into that, let's talk about some news.
Dr. Leanne's Health News.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health News Now, one of the world's most commonly prescribed medications.
Today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
For today's health in the news, puffing poison. Is vaping the new recreational chemotherapy? So think you're quitting smoking, you might be trading one carcinogen for dozens more, with e-cigarettes delivering a slow drip dose of metal-laced hormone warping toxins. So vaping, once hailed as the technological savior for smokers looking to quit, has rapidly morphed into a youth-driven epidemic. So sleek, pocket-sized devices combined with a candy-like flavor and aggressive marketing have made disposable e-cigarettes the nicotine delivery method of choice for adolescents and young adults. Industry narratives often reinforce the belief that vaping is safer, is a safer alternative to smoking, which a lot of people actually switched over from smoking cigarettes to vaping instead. Though this perception is very much under fire, as more independent research accumulates, it becomes clear that vaping is far from benign, that the very mechanisms that vaporize nicotine and flavoring may also generate an unintentional toxic cocktail, one with serious implications for respiratory, cardiovascular, and neurological health. So again, for the longest time, they're like, no. I had a cousin who was like, oh yeah, this is so, like, I quit smoking, but now I'm vaping instead. And oh my gosh, it was, I mean, this can't be normal, but it was like every several, minutes he would have to like do the vape. I'm just like, there's something that cannot, you know, are you really solving a problem or are you creating a different one? Now, fast forward 10 years, it sounds like he was just creating a different one. For instance, early studies pointed out the presence of carcinogenic formaldehyde and acetaldehyde in e-cigarette vapors. But the latest research exposed even more troubling compounds, including heavy metals and degraded flavoring agents. So some of the things that they found. So there was a groundbreaking study for UC Davis published in ACS Central Science, and it analyzed aerosols from popular disposable e-cigarettes. They found that certain devices emitted lead, nickel, and chromium at concentrates higher than traditional tobacco smoke. So shockingly, one device released more lead in a single day of use than 20 packs of cigarettes. Lead exposure, even at low levels, can impair neurological development, especially in adolescence. And this is when I always think, like, you know, as a stupid teenager and you're like, secretly smoking cigs, you know, your parents could smell it on you. That was easy to get caught. With this, because it doesn't have that odor, I feel like it's easier for kids and adolescents to get away with, because it's, you know, they don't have that lingering smell. But anyway, so lead exposure, neurological development in adolescents. Nickel and chromium also are known carcinogens linked to respiratory ailments and allergic reactions. The culprit of this is that the degradation of metal coils and the use of lead-containing alloys in internal components. So the lack of standardized quality control in these disposable products make their toxicity not just likely, but inevitable. But the danger doesn't necessarily just end there. Many of these metals also fall into a category called metalloestrogens, which are metallic compounds that can mimic estrogen in the body and bind to hormone receptors. So these metalloestrogens may fuel estrogen-sensitive cancer, such as breast cancer, ovarian cancer, and prostate cancer. This hormonal mimicry is especially concerning given the already endocrine disrupting properties of the vape constituents. This discovery called into question the relative safety, right? Is it causing more harm? Now, not just that, beyond the metal contaminants, there are also flavoring agents that add another layer of toxicity. So sucralose, an artificial sweetener frequently used in vape juices to enhance sweetness, breaks down into toxic chlorinated compounds when heated. And this is the same with baking too, which is why, one, I think you should never use sucralose, but especially never to heat. These compounds include dioxins and chloropropanols, which are chemicals associated with cancer, endocrine disrupting, and immune suppression. So most people who are doing it are somewhat unaware that this like fruit or dessert flavor could generate dioxins, which is one of the most potent toxins known to science, mostly because these components are lipophilic, which means they accumulate in fat tissue, So lipo is fat, phyllic is love. So they love fat, right? There's your little Latin. I did take Latin in college, and it has served me well in my medical career. But basically, when you're heating up the sucralose, whether it be in a muffin or in a vape, it causes dioxins. The other aspect, too, is that they're finding with that toxic assault. So a 2022 review published in Frontiers of Cardiovascular Medicine actually detailed the mechanisms in which e-cigarettes harm your cardiovascular system. So this includes endothelial dysfunction, which is cellular dysfunction, oxidative stress, and systemic inflammation, all of which are precursors to atherosclerosis, as well as cardiovascular events. So e-cigarette aerosols have been shown to impair nitric oxide production, so we're reducing the ability of blood vessels to dilate and increase blood pressure. So even in young adults, healthy adults, short-term expose leads to measurable endothelial injury. So it just basically, for more or less, just compromises like every organ system. So it's not necessarily, like, I hope people are getting the message that it's not necessarily a safer alternative, and that regulatory bodies should impose more stringent manufacturing. But, you know, at this point, you've got to make that decision on what's best for your health, knowing full well. And especially, you know, the hard part is you got these kids with their underdeveloped brains who are making these decisions because they can get, you know, bubblegum cotton candy and strawberry mango peach or whatever it is, you know, and you're like, it tastes so good. That's not this like gross smoky cigarette. And it's actually doing more damage than the cigarette would. So just making those decisions, knowledge is power. And with power comes more educated action. So now when we come back, let's dive into Bell's palsy and what we can do from a chiropractic aspect next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Videos, tips, deals, and more. Find Greenwood Family Chiropractic on Instagram. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. Or you can always reach out greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today, I really wanted to focus on more some conditions, is I guess the word, that upper cervical in nature. So let's talk about if you're like, I don't know what upper cervical means. And so if you were to take your fingers and pinch your earlobes, and right underneath that earlobe, right, when you touch your neck, you pull down a little bit, you'll feel a little bump. It kind of sits underneath your earlobe. Those are your transverse processes of C1. C1 and C2, C1 is known as your atlas, to where your world sits, right, the base of your brain, and C2 is your axis. So you'll hear a lot of like atlanoaxial joints. And that's what that means, C1 and C2 joint. That's where a lot of research, atlanoaxial instability, right? That's C1, C2 instability. Now, that being said, when we talk about upper cervical, that's the very top. So upper, you have 7 cervical vertebrae in your neck. You have 7 bones in your neck before your thoracic spine. Thoracic is mostly your middle back, and then your lumbar is your lower back, right? So there's your fun anatomy lesson for the day. But why I talk about that is because so many of these conditions, when we talk about kind of the face or the ears, we have missed when we, in terms of where it starts from. kind of like, I always give the example of sciatic because a lot of people know about sciatic because they've experienced. What it is it's nerves in your lower back that are compressed, lower back and sacrum, that run from your hip, down your legs, all the way down to the tips of your toes. And some people say, well, it doesn't all the way go down to my toes. And I say, well, that's a good thing. But if it runs down your leg, you know, some people are like, gosh, I've got this leg pain. And then be like me as a doctor saying, like, let me check out your leg. What's wrong with your leg? Let's do surgery on your leg. And you're like, but it's not. It's where your symptom is. But that's not necessarily where the start nor the cause of that sciatic pain is. And so similarly with this, when we think about vertigo, Meniere's, ringing in the ears, trigeminal neuralgia, TMJ. I have a story. I have a really great story about TMJ, honestly. But Bell's palsy. It's not often that we think upper cervical, right? Like chiropractic, cervical spine, neck adjustment, or neck nerves, if you will. But especially when we talk about Bell's palsy. So I'm going to talk about a lot of those upper cervical conditions. Though that being said, especially when we talk about Bell's palsy, it's one that I want to start with only because I've had several patients over the past couple months unsure if chiropractic could help or what caused it. And I said, what a better opportunity than to educate the average individual. So imagine this, right? I want you to imagine waking up one morning and looking in the mirror only to find that one side of your face isn't moving the way it should. So you try to smile and only half of your mouth lifts. Your eye doesn't close the way that it's supposed to and your face just feels off. And this is truly what Bell's palsy feels like. People will often be concerned about, you know, and if someone has Bell's palsy and they're like, I want to go get checked out, I'm like, do it, right? Because I always think if there's any sort of paralysis of the face and or weakness or paralysis of the facial muscles, and you're like, I want to rule out a stroke, I'm like, yes, more power to you. I think that's great. The difference is Bell's palsy is not a stroke. It looks similar to some of the symptoms, only it only affects the face and doesn't involve speech slurring or limb weakness. Still, regardless, if that's one that you have facial paralysis, I think it's, you know, this is one where you're like, hi, my face is numb. I want to make sure I'm not having a stroke. You're like, yeah, that's a pretty solid one to rule out. The other aspect is that with Bell's palsy specifically is a condition where the facial muscles become weak or even paralyzed. It's usually on one side of the face. It's caused by inflammation or compression of the facial nerve, also known as your seventh cranial nerve. Your seventh cranial nerve is the one that goes back up to control the muscles in your face. So yes, that little bump that you had underneath your earlobe to the sides of your neck, if you go upwards, those up a little bit higher than that are where your cranial nerves come out. So you have 12 cranial nerves. All of them have different purposes, right? For you to see the muscles around your eyes, the musculature in your face, seven, for you to taste. I always think it's so interesting if you ever have someone, like a doctor more specifically, who has a finger and they're like, follow my finger, and you look up and down, left and right, you go cross-eyed, right? They make you follow it to go cross-eyed. They have you puff your cheeks out. They have you stick your tongue out, move your tongue back and forth. All of those are cranial nerve evaluations. So it's not just kind of fun to watch, but say your eye doesn't deviate outward in one of those, just stays there. Then we know that's a nerve deficiency, and that can be traced back to a specific cranial nerve. Say you stick your tongue out and it deviates to one side. That's part of your 12th cranial nerve. That's part of your hypoglossal nerve. And so it's kind of, you know, the body gives us signs. And so sometimes when you're looking at a sign, it's a very terrifying one, and it's called Bell's palsy, and it's facial paralysis. It is typically temporary. I know people get scared. It's usually within 3 to 6 months. I will say that's medical standard. We often see resolve faster when patients are consistent with chiropractic care. Reason being, especially too, is you're like, okay, what could cause this? Like, why? And it could be from a bunch of different things. What I found more often than not is that there is pressure misalignment to that facial nerve, upper cervical. It could be triggered by, sometimes it could be like a viral infection, stress, cold air, you know. But that's the problem is that most people don't realize like what does it. And more often than not, again, what I find is that because your facial nerve travels from your brain through a very tiny canal in your skull and out to your face, if it ever becomes compressed or if there's like a structural issue like a loss of curvature or instability, upper cervical C1, C2 instability, it puts pressure on those nerves. When you compress a nerve that goes out to tissues like muscles, that those muscles don't work. So just like you could have it where you might have a weakness in your hand or in your arm, or, you know, if you have a compression in your nerve in your lower back, you might see some atrophy in your legs, right? The one leg might be smaller in size than the other because of muscle atrophy. That same thing happens in your face. It just happens from a different nerve, and that nerve is your seventh cranial nerve, which is also why when we have these upper cervical conditions, like Meniere's, for example. Meniere's is not only like sometimes it's ringing in the ears, it's also accompanied by vertigo, spinning. Those aspects are like, just burn the nerve. And you're like, so we're acknowledging that this is nerve related, right? So if we're acknowledging it's nerve related, who's looked to see, is there pressure on the nerves? And so more specifically on what we do in the office, we have something called an A to P open mouth, where we drop your jaw and we're actually able to look at C1 and C2. Oftentimes we'll do lateral bends that are associated with that too, if there's more of an upper cervical condition that presents in the office. Because if there's instability, like alar ligament instability, you'll see quite a bit more shifting and changing, structurally there, and there's specific adjusting techniques and strengthening exercises that allow us to take pressure off of those nerves, but to stabilize it exponentially more as well. And so not all chiropractors look for that. Not all doctors know how, if they find that atlantoaxial instability, how to address it. And so that's more specifically what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. I think when we address more of that cause, if you're like, hey, there's pressure on the nerve that might be causing this, and you're like, okay, but if it's causing it, let's really figure out a bit more on how we address it appropriately. If pressure on the nerve is causing it, who is actively taking off that pressure? And again, what I find more often than not is that there is likely some sort of instability through there. And that changes and alters the way you should be adjusted. So that kind of high velocity rotary adjustment where they turn your head to the side and they rotate it, that's a counterindication for that. But having a doctor who understands and knows what that looks like and to address it, it allows for the pressure to be off of those surrounding nerves, which then can alleviate some of those Bell's palsy symptomatology even faster. So when we get back, I want to dive down not only just into Bell's palsy, but more when we talk about these upper cervical conditions, about Meniere's and trigeminal neuralgia and migraines. And we'll talk more about those next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Today we are talking about chiropractic approach to upper cervical conditions. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Now, when I say upper cervical conditions, what do I mean by that? So in your cervical spine is your neck. So the upper cervical spine is above C1, which is where your cranial nerves exit. C1 is the very, very top bone in your neck. So if you were to go behind your ear, behind your jaw, and you push in a little bit, you'll feel a little bit above a bump. That's C1. So above there are where your cranial nerves come out. You've got 12 of them, and they all do different things. Now, when there's pressure on those nerves, remember 7% of a nerve fiber feels pain, 93% is function. I don't know if I've talked about that quite yet. So when people say, oh, I'm fine, I don't have a lot of pain, 7% of a nerve fiber feels pain, 93% is function. And what I find, or is that your body's been giving you low level signals, but you lived with them for so long that just kind of you're normal now, right? Like, oh, I just carry tension in my neck. And you're like, no, you have problems with your neck. You're just so used to it now. It just feels like you're walking around with tension. So some of the aspects that we're addressing are Bell's palsy, right? That's a Bell's palsy is an important upper cervical. That's your seventh cranial nerve. Bell's palsy looks like drooping on one side of the face. Meniere's is another big one, right? Meniere's deals with vertigo as well as tinnitus, which is ringing in the ears. Trigeminal neuralgia is face pain, TMJ disorders, temporomandibular joint, so jaw, migraines. And so what I have found is that with specific structural corrective chiropractic, so this is not like standard chiropractic, this is like chiropractic biophysics, where one of the things we specifically look at is that upper cervical. We make you open your mouth. If we have to take x-rays, we'll do lateral flexions and a base posterior to see if there's any C1 rotation. It allows us to be really specific on what we're addressing, which is why we have such really great results with some of these upper cervical dysfunction. Again, Bell's palsy, Meniere's, vertigo, trigeminal neuralgia. And so I want to revisit a testimony that we had from our patient, Michael, who was one of the ones who was able to see great results with this. So we're going to welcome Michael to the line. So thank you for joining us, Michael.
You're welcome.
Okay, so you have been officially in the office for 1 year now. And I think it's been really great to see just the changes that you've seen. But first and foremost, let's start. What are some of the things that you initially were experiencing before you started at Greenwood Family Chiropractic?
Yeah, I had struggled with Meniere's for quite a while. I've suffered with that, and of course with that comes, you know, some pretty debilitating dizzy spells. And that was the main thing. I didn't come in with any pain, but really just the Meniere's. I'd struggled with that and tried all the normal medical interventions that was recommended.
So how I didn't really do. Let me ask you this. So when you say dizzy, how often were you, like, how often did you have dizzy spells? How long did they last for? You know, were you able to kind of, because I've been dizzy before too, and I've been able just to kind of work through it. So it's very different than what Meniere's presents with.
So I'm bilateral with my Meniere's, and I get varying different types of dizzy spells, anywhere from just lasting for just a few seconds to lasting 4 to 6 hours. And even with those long ones, so then that puts me in bed. I can't move, severe nausea and vomiting. And then even once the dizziness wears off, it's really another 24 hours before I'm completely all back and balanced again. So it's a pretty bad, those are pretty bad things that happen. When I came in, what initially brought us in, I was having a spell about once a week, and that was a pretty bad set of spells. And I just had some just before 4th of July last year that were really, really bad, and that's what really pushed me to looking for something different than the traditional medical route, which was not helping.
And so what were some of the, so with Meniere's, what are typically some of the traditional treatments that they try for Meniere's?
The first try, Valium or Vertigo or Antivert as a medication to help control the dizzy spells, and then they and also with some anti-nausea medications that never seemed to help me at all. Those are the main things, and if it continues and gets severe, they have nerve ablation treatments and injections into the ear, and those I never tried those things, but they have a lot more invasive treatments that from the information I've received were not guaranteed to benefit.
Well, and for the people who don't know, nerve ablation is literally where they burn the nerve, right? So they're trying deaden that nerve. So I think when you think about meniere's, not oftentimes people think about it being a nerve-related problem, which is one of the reasons why people wouldn't necessarily think of, you know, specific structural chiropractic when it comes to meniere's. So how did you initially hear about our office at Greenwood Family Chiropractic?
Well, I initially heard you on the radio, but that was long before we really started looking into chiropractic for the treatment of meniere's. So then when I had those severe rounds back in July last year, we started looking into different ways, and my wife came across some things about upper cervical chiropractors. So we started looking for that, and then I remembered hearing your show, and I had looked up your website and was really, really interested in what all you did. And I thought, you know, I just really would like to go see her and see Dr. Leanne and see what, you know, what you might recommend. So.
Yeah. So over the course of the last year then, what are some of the changes overall that you've experienced in terms of your health since starting at Greenwood Family Chiropractic?
Well, it started with, you know, a decrease in my dizzy spells. We went through the first round of treatments, and that showed some good improvement. And I went down to the maintenance program, and that was not a good plan for me. I had a severe reoccurrence of episodes where I had, I think I had 7 in 1 week. So then we got that under control. So over the year, it's been a marked reduction. I mean, just major reduction in episodes to where I'm really not even having any right now. It's been, I'd say, probably a month and a half, maybe 2 months since I had the last one.
Good.
Which has been really, really good. And even then, what I was having was not as severe as what they had been. And
yeah.
Then beyond that, once we got that under control, I went into nutrition and changing my diet and everything, and I have since lost 60 pounds.
How much?
60.
60. 60. Not 1 6. 60. It's so.
60.
Oh, my goodness. You have. And I think. So let me ask you this, right? Because I know you have a family. A very sweet, amazing family. What has been the difference in the quality of life now, you know, looking back a year to where you're having, you know, large episodes at least once a week to now having better nutrition, down 60 pounds, going, you know, larger spans of time without these meniere vertigo episodes? Like, what does your quality of life look like now versus then?
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, I have much more energy now with my better diet and with the weight loss. I'm sleeping better. My wife tells me I don't snore as much. I don't know that I even snore at all, but she says I do. She says I don't snore as much since that. And it's just, I don't have the, you know, with the meniere's and the dizzy spells, it was just, a lot of times it was, when's the next one going to happen? When's the next one going to happen? And now I find I don't really even think about it. You know, I don't worry about it because it's just been so long since I've had one. It's, everything's been getting much better beyond for that. So it's just a lot less, I suppose, stress and worry from that.
Yeah, and I wonder about, like, the quality of time you get to spend with them as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm able to feel comfortable doing more with the family and being out and just enjoying because those times when, you know, when I did have the episodes, like I said, I would be down for days. I would have, you know, I missed some family holiday events because of it. You know, my wife and I would try to go out for dinner and I'd have an episode and have to, you know, cut our night short because of that. So it's, yeah, just being able to enjoy being together and not be worried about, you know, an episode coming or, you know, not being able to enjoy anything when I have an episode.
Yeah. And I think that's great. So let me ask you this then. Last question for you. If you, Michael, today could tell you, Michael, a year and a half or 2 years ago, who was not sure if he should come in and get checked and not sure if we could help, what would you, or someone who's listening who's in the same shoes as you, like, what would you tell that person?
I'd say it absolutely works. Give it a try. It absolutely works. I mean, you guys do such an amazing job in there. My wife and I have had quite a bit of experience, not me personally, but she has had experience with chiropractic, and it really wasn't until coming to Greenwood Family Chiropractic that we really started seeing a great benefit from that. So, I mean, it definitely works and well worth trying out, and you know won't be disappointed in the least.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I know that your story, because so many people are searching for help for Meniere's, that I do know that your story is going to reach so many people who are listening today. So I appreciate you taking the time to share your story.
Sure, mentioned chiropractic as a method of treatment, and it's just been so amazing, and it's really kind of frustrating that they don't recommend that, because it has been so helpful for me. So I'm just really thankful for all that you guys do, and then thankful that we made the choice to come in and see you.
Yeah, and we're thankful to have you in the office. So we appreciate you guys have an amazing family. So it's always a breath of fresh air when you guys come in. So thank you. I will see you in the office.
Okay, thank you.
Now, if you or someone you know might be having some of these problems, let us see if we can help you. Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Now, beyond just chiropractic, there are some more natural approaches, but I want to break down and explain a bit more next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Videos, tips, deals, and more. Find Greenwood Family Chiropractic on Instagram. Here's Dr. Leanne.
I feel it in me like the
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Now, today we are approaching the subject of upper cervical conditions such as Bell's palsy, trigeminal neuralgia, Meniere's disease, vertigo, TMJ, migraines. And I want to share a story. And I didn't even think about asking her to be on the radio for today. So I should probably do that. You might hear an updated testimony with her in here. But I had a patient who came in and was like, hey, I had some dental work done and I've got this just like terrible, terrible jaw pain. I said, okay, tell me more. And she was like, so I don't need chiropractic, but I just want to see if you can help me with my jaw pain. Like, can you just adjust my jaw? And I was like, well, yeah, but let's dive down a little bit deeper, right? So like a good clinician will hear the problems. A good clinician will address their symptoms. But figuring out more of a root cause is important, right? And she had gone to her dentist. They're like, your teeth look good. She had gone to an oral surgeon. They're like, everything looks good. There's no infection. Like, she did everything. And she was in tears when she came in because she could only eat pureed foods. She's like, I've been eating. And this had gone on for months. And so I explained to her a little bit about more upper cervical, right? And so she's like, can you adjust my jaw? And I'm like, well, I want to kind of just address your spine as a whole because it's a closed chain system. And, you know, it's not always that someone's going to come in and be like, I was diagnosed. Like, TMJ is like an easy one because you're like, oh, my jaw hurts. And you're like, it's temporomandibular joint dysfunction. TMJ. Everyone has TMJ. It's temporomandibular joint. You're like, but why? Right? And so I kind of went through, and luckily I have a computer in the room that has access for me to show a picture of the musculature and where that musculature attaches not only onto the jaw, but onto the spine as well. And so I said, candidly, because she's like, I don't think I want to be adjusted. I said, I understand that I would do you a disservice if I didn't adjust you, because let's see what we find. And there was lots of rotational components, instability, loss of curvature. And what happens is when things like your fifth cranial nerve, for example, your trigeminal nerve is compressed, you can have something called trigeminal neuralgia, which is just pain that it's like when you put pressure on the nerves in your lower back, it causes lower back pain. If you put pressure on the nerve that goes up to your head, guess what that causes? Head pain, face pain. And so depending on the branch, because there's three branches, your ophthalmic, your maxillary, and your mandibular, they all do different ones. Ophthalmic is eyes and forehead. Maxillary is cheeks and upper lip. Mandibular is lower jaw and chin, right? And so depending on the branch of what is compressed, and I saw her more recently because after her first adjustment, she's like, I had cottage cheese, which doesn't sound like a win to the average person. It's still soft food, but she chewed food. And now she's back to eating normal all over again. And so for the average person that doesn't, it's not life-changing, maybe hearing about it. But for that woman who could not eat and had gone to all of the doctors and had lost hope, and they're like, hey, we'll put you on something that just dampens the nerve so you don't feel them as much. She's like, but that's not the cause, right? And so very much more of that structural misalignment at the base of the cranium and the upper cervical spine. And so it's one where you take and you relieve pressure from those nerve roots. Not only can it help improve blood flow and CFS, you know, decreases inflammation around that nerve and helps restore more proper neural signaling. That's inevitably what we want to look at. And so you have this and you're like, yes, one of the most important is that when we're seeing more of these upper cervical conditions, there are more palliative things you can do. Higher omega-3s, it decreases inflammation. Higher aspects of curcumin, right? Natural anti-inflammatory. But if there is pressure on the nerve root, it's going to be inflamed. And so again, more getting down to like the inevitable cause of the problem is like, why when you're having vertigo, Meniere's, trigeminal neuralgia, TMJ, migraines, especially, we've got such a high success rate with migraines because the way that we look at and address them are more in depth and in detail than the standard pain-based chiropractic. We're not going to do the rotary adjustments, especially if you've got instability. It's a huge counterindication. Like, you should not have your neck adjusted with that twisting rotary. And so knowing more about like what we're doing, how we're doing it, and an evaluation process through not only posture analysis, thermal imaging, x-rays if needed, but then two, working on keeping the pressure off of those nerves with what we do, more specifically upper cervically. So, you know, there's people who say, well, I'm the only doctor that adjusts upper cervical. No, you don't. It might be a technique that you use, but there are different ways to address upper cervical instability more than just one chiropractic technique. And so having someone who's knowledgeable and ready and prepared to be able to help you with it is exactly what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. So, you know, I think first and foremost is just always coming in and figuring out what is symptoms look like, what's happening, what have you tried, but more specifically, do we need to do some secondary imaging like x-rays or thermal imaging to be able to say, here's what we need to do to help. And we always let you know frequency, time, cost, insurance, out of pocket before you get started, but really have an understanding of what's going on. So, but first things first, you got to be in the office. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Look forward to next week, but always remember that your power is on.